Thanks for coming along to this talk. Please let us know, I've been told to put this at the beginning, at the end. We need to get your feedback about all the sessions that you see at TechEd NL. Now, I'm Andy Wigley. I work out of the UK. I am responsible for building out a load of content for a Jumpstart set of videos, which is going to be in 2 weeks' time, starts 2 weeks today. It's going to be live on video, so there's a registration page, and I'd encourage any of you who want to get 2 days, 2.5 days actually, of deep video content about developing apps for Windows Phone 8.1. I'm going to be doing those videos. It'll all be recorded. It'll be on Channel 9. You know, the time zones, it's Redmond time, so it'll kind of extend into the small hours of the morning for anybody in Europe. But yeah, like I said, it'll all be on Channel 9. What I'm going to show you now is part of that content I've been developing, and I'm going to give you a high-level view of what I consider to be all the most exciting new stuff that's in the Windows Phone 8.1 SDK, which, as I'm sure you all know, was released at Build just a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to just position it, tell you what the major kind of where we are in the life cycle of the Windows Phone devices. Give you a quick high-level view of the developer platform, what they've done, and then run through very quickly some of the key new features, how you get started, and then some of the choices we've got as XAML developers as to which way you want to go. As you'll see, you've now got a couple of different paths you can go down. So first of all, welcome to Windows Phone 8.1. How many of you have already upgraded your devices? Oh, you're obviously all a developer audience, so you've already got it on. Isn't it a great release? Isn't it awesome? It's really, really impressive. So yeah, Windows Phone 8, of course, it's kept on winning all sorts of awards from the technical press and from users, and really, really got a lot of user love. So what we're trying to do with Windows Phone 8.1 is to kind of build on that and actually make the most engaging smartphone platform even better. So just some of the end user features that, as you say, at least half of you in here have already got it on your phones, we'll already be enjoying is the option to have, well, we call it three columns, but actually it means you can have six small tiles across, so three medium tile sizes. You can have that across, and that's now available on all phones. So in update 3 for Windows Phone 8, that came out for the super smartphone devices, the big 6-inch things. But now you can have that on every phone now if you choose. So that's one of the options. You can also put your own picture behind, so that's really nice. So this actually is something as a developer. How many of you have got apps in the store at the moment? Good number of you. So you might want to start thinking about doing your tiles using with a transparent background, because normally they would show with the accent color through. But now, if you have a transparent background, effectively like what that would be, it would mean that when the user does this and puts one of their favorite pictures, it will shine through your tile. And so it's a good reason for doing that now. And of course, you've all heard of Cortana, which sadly will not be coming to the Dutch market anytime soon. It's going to be launched in the US market very soon, and the UK and China before the end of the year, and will come to other markets thereafter. If you set your phone now to US language and US display language and, well, basically US region, Cortana pops up. So if any of you want to have a play with it, that's what you can do. And it's pretty good, actually. So I think we'll see more and more people actually getting used to speaking to their phones. It's supposed to have, be proactive and has a character and all this sort of thing. I haven't used it enough yet to know whether I like it or not, but it's there. That's interesting. And loads of other great new features. The Action Center, of course. So notifications are in a swipe down from the top. You can get quick access to your settings and the notifications. There's great integration with Skype. You can switch between a regular voice call and a video call just by tapping a key within the phone dialer now. You don't actually have to switch app. And there's a great new calendar app, which is really nice. The new WordFlow keyboard, this swipe keyboard, that is awesome. I love using that. It really makes, and I'm not a great typist, but just swiping around the keyboard and it does auto correction of the words, and it really makes entering text into the phone so much quicker. Other things like buying that once, you can buy it once on the PC, and the user will get usage rights for your app on the phone. So they buy it once and get it on both platforms, although that's under your control as a developer, whether you allow that or not. App data can roam. You can have settings on a phone app, and they'll be roamed to the cloud, so you can then open again the PC version of the same app, and it will automatically have got those settings without the user having to enter it in two places. If you get a new phone, now the start screen is restored. So when you restore a backup, you actually get your start screen comes onto your new device as well. That's really nice. Your data is backed up for your third-party apps. Apps are updated silently, so those of you who are updated will already have seen this. This stuff keeps getting updated, and it just happens in the background, so you don't have to go to the store tile and manually install updates. The remote viewer, that's available for everybody. So this is something that only Microsoft people have been able to show, and you keep on getting these questions. How do you do that remote viewing stuff? Well, everybody can do it now. We haven't released the PC client side of it yet, but that will be coming very soon. And you can install apps to the SD card and move them between the SD card and the built-in storage on the phone. You've got loads of flexibility with that, so it's really good. Yeah?
Does the Romano also work for internet favorites?
I think that does. Yes, I know it does, actually. Yes, it does. So there's a couple of other APIs as well that also do this roaming trick for things like Credential Locker. So if you're using that as a developer and you enter stuff into Credential Locker, so you store credentials in there, again, that will roam across the user's different devices. So that's something you can take advantage of. So loads of great features. We upgraded the hardware as well. So we've been driving the cost to device manufacturers down. I mean, you'll all have heard, I think, at Build that not only are we now giving away the Windows Phone operating system, so we're not charging for it anymore, but also we're enabling cheaper devices, because we are seeing, obviously, most growth with the low-end devices. So we're now supporting a cheaper system-on-chip Qualcomm chipsets. The Qualcomm reference design, this is how Qualcomm and Microsoft work together to effectively produce a ready-to-go phone design running on Qualcomm hardware. And a phone manufacturer can just take that design and with a minimum of modification can ship a phone out to the marketplace. So it's about reducing their cost to market for getting new devices out there. Dual SIM support is very, is a big feature in certain markets such as India and China. And we've got a whole load of apps that are there to help you manage your data costs. So you can really keep an eye on your phone bill and make sure that you're keeping your bills as manageable as possible. Right, how do you get it onto your device? Quite a few of you in the room already know this. We have, obviously, new devices that go into market from kind of June onwards. The new ones will be starting to be released. Those will have 8.1 pre-released on it. All Windows Phone 8 devices can be upgraded, are capable of running Windows Phone 8.1. Now, whether an 8.1 upgrade for your device becomes available, unfortunately, is not directly under our control, because it's up to the network, your mobile operator, and your OEM as to when they test it and when they decide to release it. So that can be frustrating, but we have the Preview for Developers program, which if you are a developer, and we have a very broad interpretation of what a developer is, but if you are a developer, you can get Windows Phone OS onto your phone now. To be a developer, sure, obviously if you've paid the $19 or you've got a free subscription, you've signed up and got a developer account, clearly you are a developer. But in actual fact, anybody who's signed up for App Studio, which is this, so if you've never, you haven't got, as I've said here, if you don't have an ounce of programming skill, non-technical people can sign up to App Studio and can configure an app with drawing in some RSS feeds and Twitter stuff and some static pages, and they can generate an app, and that's been upgraded as well, so it now generates universal apps for Windows and Windows Phone. But that qualifies you as a developer, so again, that's one way, and it's no charge, so you can just sign up there and not do anything, but you would then become a developer. And when you are a developer, you can then download this app, Preview for Developers, install it on your phone. You can do this now. And you run it, and there's just a checkbox saying Enable Preview for Developers. And what that does is it just changes the address that the phone looks at for updates. instead of the mobile operator's servers, it goes directly to our servers. So you get the OS. Now, the only risk with this, if you like, is that when you get a full proper release, you get the OS, but you might also get some device-specific stuff, a bit of firmware and that sort of thing, on Nokia updates. Well, Lumia updates tend to come sort of separately. So you're just getting the OS update. So when later on your mobile operator does release its proper in its own time, it's the proper update, you'll just get that anyway. So there's no risk. You'll kind of revert back into the official channels, if you like. So it's a low risk, and it allows you to get hold of the OS on your phone right away. Okay, so from a developer's point of view, what have we done with Windows Phone 8.1? So the key thing, obviously, is that we're delivering on this one Windows promise in a big way. So we are now, there's loads of great new features that you can build into your apps, great new features about Live Tile, the Action Center, there's APIs, great new ways of doing background processing, loads of more flexibility in that. There's good support for things like Bluetooth LE and all the rest of it. But all that is being enabled by the fact that we have converged the developer platform. So we've brought all the stuff, if you like, that was developed over the last couple of years for Windows 8 and 8.1 is now on the phone. It's a converged developer platform. So this is not something we just dreamt up. So we've been doing this platform convergence for quite a while. It actually started with Windows Phone 7.5. where we converged the browser. So it was exactly the same Internet Explorer code base that to produce the version of Internet Explorer on the phone was the same as on the desktop. Actually, I think those of us with longer memories might say this started actually in Windows Mobile 6.5 days, I think, really, which is it's even before this. But for the purposes of Windows Phone, we think it started in 7.5. And then with Windows Phone 8.0, we did a lot of plumbing work. So actually, what we kind of did with Windows Phone 8.0 was we ripped out the foundations and put a whole new one in. So it's actually a whole new OS. And what we've got with Windows Phone 8.0 is a converged core. So it's the NT kernel, is the core operating system underneath it. And a lot of the operating system modules were the same. So we were doing, this is kind of foundations work. So it actually didn't have a vast amount of difference from a developer's point of view. There were some new APIs came in that were common across Windows and Windows Phone. But apart from gaming did all of a sudden have a really good converged story, and you could very easily create a game on Windows Phone 8 and port it to Windows 8 and vice versa. That was very easy. But from a XAML developer's point of view, not so much. So what we've done now with Windows Phone 8.1 is we've kind of built on those foundations we did before, and we've filled in the rest of the story. So now we've finally got a very convergent dev platform right the way across the board. So this is a picture of where we were as far as the Windows runtime APIs were for Windows Phone 8. So the big blue there is big Windows, and the little red one there is Windows Phone 8. And as you can see, there wasn't much convergence. There's things like some storage APIs, WinRT storage APIs were the same, some sensors, in-app purchase, that kind of thing. That was it, pretty much. And then this is it now with Windows Phone 8.1. So we've got over 90% of the APIs are exactly the same, or they're converged, they're close in some cases. So very much a very common coding story for the WinRT APIs. So it's really exciting. The only reason we haven't got total convergence is because there's still a few little things that really don't make sense on a phone and don't make sense on a tablet PC. So there's a few little things that are platform specific. But for the most part of it, you're going to be working with exactly the same code when you're building across both. This is a kind of a block diagram of the dev platform. As you can see, all of the orange there, good Dutch color, is I put it in the template, it came out orange. I don't know. Well, that's good. So all of the orange stuff there is the same. So all these different bits of the programming you're going to do is all the same. And the one that stands out up there, the blue one, is Windows Phone Silverlight. So Silverlight is actually the XAML-based app development technology we've been using on Windows Phone up till now. We didn't call it Silverlight last time around. We've been kind of trying to quietly forget, kill it, sort of. The term, not the technology, the term. But it actually always was. Back in Windows Phone 7, we were quite happy to call it. Yeah, it's Silverlight, Windows Phone Silverlight. And then we stopped calling it that in Windows Phone 8. It's the same thing. We just kind of didn't call it that anymore. And now we're bringing the name back, which has raised some comment here and there. But the reason why we're bringing the name back is otherwise it's going to get terribly confusing when you're talking about WinRT XAML and Silverlight XAML. And actually, there's still a lot of confusion. I've just done yet another pass through the Jumpstart materials, changing the name again for what used to be called, the code name was Jupyter, which is the WinRT XAML. It's the XAML flavor app framework that's used on big Windows, which has come down to the phone. So you'll hear a lot of different terms, sometimes Windows XAML, sometimes WinRT XAML, Windows Phone Store App XAML, and they all mean the new one, if you like, as far as a phone is concerned. It's the same app platform we've been building for big Windows on. The best thing is saying, if it's not Silverlight, you're probably talking about the other one. So that's the kind of thing. These are the kind of, if you want to build an app, so what are your choices now? So gaming, yeah, it's C++, DirectX, Direct3D. Some people work at that level. A lot of people work using our gaming partners, the middleware partners like Unity, Havok, Marmalade, and others, and this sort of thing. And that's a very convergent story. The HTML one, that's new. So we have got the WinJS story has come down to Windows Phone. So if you prefer working with HTML and JavaScript, you can create fully native apps for Windows Phone, as you can with big Windows, using those technologies. So we've got WinJS, you can call down all the WinRT APIs, so that's available to you. And then on the right there, we're looking at the XAML-based technologies. So we've got a number of flavors of that. First of all, like I said, the different terminology, Windows Phone Store apps, I'm trying to take that out, I should say, WinRT XAML. WinRT XAML, which is the API layer, the view layer, and then underneath that you're programming in C# or VB, or indeed C++. So that's a new feature. So these are full XAML-based apps using the new XAML stack. You can use Windows Silverlight 8.1 XAML. So we are not killing Silverlight. In fact, it has got a big upgrade in this release, and all of the new platform APIs, virtually all, are available to Silverlight apps as well. So that's a definite option. So if you have, if you've got your skill base is Silverlight app development, you're totally going to feel at home on Windows Phone 8.1. We're not forcing you to move across. And then the last one is the kind of hybrid web apps kind of thing, where you've got a native shell, but basically your UI is running in a web browser control. So your UI is HTML and JavaScript again. But that's not used so much, but obviously is popular with certain frameworks. So those essentially are your options for Windows Phone 8.1. But actually, almost the most important point on this slide is the little bullet point at the bottom, which says that you can carry on building apps using the existing technologies. Everything you've written up to now will run on Windows Phone 8.1. You can continue to build apps with those technologies if you don't want to use any of the new features. In fact, you can even build, using Visual Studio 2012, you could actually build an XNA game, and it'll still run on Windows Phone 8.1. Right, I'm going to show you, give you a demo to give you a flavor of what it's like to work with building a universal app. And so, if I can find Visual Studio. All right. So let's create ourselves a new app. Oh, hang on. Let's make this a bit bigger for you. Okay. I haven't got my shortcut in there. Just let me import some. Okay. Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah, I know it should do. It seems to be diving into NuGet. That's kind of weird. All right. Apologies. This is obviously a new machine that I'm not seeing the. Where's the import-export settings gone? That's kind of weird. That dialogue, that might work better. Import. Right. Just import some new ones. And I have got from a previous life. There we go. Done. So you should be able to see something now. All right, that's a bit better. File, new project. Okay, so I'm going to work in C# and XAML. You'll notice that in the new project wizard, we've got under C#, obviously you've got all the, this is universal, so you've got everything under the sun in here. But here under store apps is three categories. Windows apps, which is what you might be familiar with seeing for creating an app for Windows using XAML. This is all the standard new project templates. I've got Windows Phone apps, which actually is a very long list. But you'll notice that 2/3 of them are Windows Phone Silverlight. So actually, from this one downwards, the new project templates are exactly the same as you would have seen on if you're building for Windows Phone 8.0. So these are all the Silverlight app templates. So you can create, we can create an app there, and it will put up a pop up a dialogue saying, "Do you want to target 8.0 or 8.1?" And you choose. And up here, these ones, brackets Windows Phone, are WinRT XAML. So this is the new XAML stack, which is converged with Big Windows. And I could build just a phone app using that technology. And you could create an app for Windows Phone, and then you can right-click it at some point in the future and say, convert this to a universal app, add a Windows head to it as well. Or you can even start with that. So I'm going to start with that. I'm going to start with a blank app. I'm going to call it, let's put a new folder in here. Let's put it down here. Tech Ed NL. Tech Ed, Tech Days. Tech Days NL. And I'm going to call this, it's going to be a Flickr app, so I'm going to call this Flickr Search. Okay. And this is creating a universal app that straight away out of the box will run on both Windows and on the phone. Dig a little bit further into what you're seeing here in Solution Explorer. So what you've got is, it looks like three projects. One called Shared, one called Windows Phone, and one called Windows. Actually, this one kind of, if any of you have ever done any targeting two different platforms and done add as link, you've got files in a common folder and then you've added as link, so you've only got one physical copy, but you are kind of logically sharing it between two or more projects. That's actually what this is. It's a new way of doing that. So anything that ends up in the shared project is effectively a file that exists once but exists in both heads. And then what you've got is the two heads, which has got, as you can see, most of the bits of a regular project. This is a Windows app, and this is a Windows Phone app. Now, let's actually start putting some logic into this so you get a feel for what it's like. So I'm going to add some existing files into this. Hang on, where are we? So there's two C# files I'm going to add here. Add these in. And they're going into the shared folder. They'll be used for both. Now, this is this Flickr searcher is just a utility class that knows how to make calls to Flickr and get results back. So it knows there's the string to format to get an image. And this one, search async, returns a list of Flickr photo result objects, which is and it makes the call out to uses HTTP client to make the call out to Flickr and returns back a list of it returns back some XML which represents some photos. Essentially, that's the main method we're going to call. So let's do some design on our main page and our Windows app here. And I'm going to just create a grid on it. So select our main grid. Here we go. And then I'm going to put a couple of rows in it. Divide it into three rows. So that one and that one. Let's make this a pixel of 100. Size that as 100. And this one we can do as another pixel shape size row. And this one is just going to be 40. So getting our UI sort of lined up here. And then I'm going to drag myself a from the toolbox. Let's drag ourselves a text box, text block rather, which is just going to be some title text. Drag that out up onto the top here. I'm going to, let's set the margin on this, just fix this margin up. So I'm going to have that as 120, zero. So we just position it slightly. Up at the top, I'm going to set the vertical alignment to the bottom. So it's now situated on the bottom of that. I want to put a style on it. Let's use the document outline for that, it's easier. Apply style, edit style, apply a resource, and I want to put the header text block style on that. So now we can actually see it, and let's just change the text in it to flicker. Right, so now we've got a bit of a header. That's all very nice. And then I want to have a grid view. So there's our grid. Let's have a toolbox. Get myself a grid view for showing these pictures on it. Drag that over there. Where's it put that? Has that gone in the right place? Grid view. Grid rate equals 2. Yeah. Just make it... Oh, it's just tiny. There you go. We're going to make it so it just fills the whole area. So there we got a nice grid view. Let's give that a name so we can address it later. And then we need to have... let's open this up and put some put a bit of a template into this. So we're going to add it. I've got a snippet, Control-K, Control-X, XAML jumpstart. And here's a data template which is going to format all the pictures that we put into this. All right, so that's pretty good. Now then, mainpage.xaml, let's put a bit of logic in this to actually go and make the call. And I've got a snippet for this, which is the Flickr logic. And all this is doing is calling that Flickr searcher search async. It's going to get some results back. It's going to. We also actually got some stuff to do tiles and toasting, which we'll come to it. Which I just need to fix up a few references on this stuff I've just put in there. Tile update manager, XML document, resolve that. And we're going to do that in a minute. But all that is good. All right. And it will do a notification. So if we can actually now run this. And if the gods are with us, as you can see, it's going to do a search term of flowers. And we should get some pictures back. And build failed. Why have you failed? No apparent reason. That's kind of weird. Okay, that's not really very useful, is it? Yeah, no, nothing. Yeah, okay. Sorry? I don't know about that. I don't get a form. Let's just try the. Let's just restart and see whether. This is the release candidate, of course. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I know I've no idea why that happened. So let's run this. There's the Windows one, nice Flickr search, and we're on network. Yes. Yes, we are on a network. Are we on a network? I'm on a network. Yeah, definitely. Crap. All right. This is the danger of doing network demos, isn't it? All right. That's rather disappointing. Not expecting any better result this time, but you never know. Data mining. No, it shouldn't do it. It should make the search, and then we should get some results back. And then it should just... hang on. So setting the data context. Right, so we're getting some results. What have we got back in our results? Yeah, we've got loads of results. Okay. So something wrong with what I did on the... Well, I've set... Okay, I've set the data context, but the data template should have had the binding statements in it. Yeah, you're dead right. I've just seen point 6AB subsection 4 on my notes here. Crap. All right, thank you. don't forget to data bind your grid views. It really does help a lot. So we put on here, we go item source, yes, that's right, item source equals binding. Yay. And actually, I forgot to do something else. So while we're at it, let's just fix up something else. Flickr search. Lap around. Begin. Let's go and get some. Get all these. Control A, just so it looks nice as well. And we'll take these and drop them into the assets. I'm good with that. And actually, while we're at it, let's do the same for the phone, just to save ourselves a bit of time later on. The assets are slightly different on the phone, interestingly. Let's go and get the assets for the phone. Control all of them and drag and drop them into there as well and replace them all. Okay, so there we go. And we've got that, yep, that looked good. And ta-da, yay. Right, that's not really terribly impressive, but let's make this a bit more interesting. So I'm now going to build the phone one. And actually, just to prove the point that it really is very portable. So here we are. Let's set the startup project to the phone. And anyway, let's go and steal the XAML from here. So I'm going to get all of the XAML. In fact, let's just get the whole grid. The heads don't like to have no pages in them. So in theory it could, but the trouble is, okay, so yes, you're right. So you can obviously share XAML, you could create user controls that would work on both. And this is one reason why we're not yet giving you one project that will run on both. Because we recognize that a phone is a different user experience to a tablet. So your UI is going to be different. Now, yes, you could have a XAML page. You could use things like Visual State Manager to say, OK, use the phone layout. Or I'm running on a PC. Use the tablet. You know, use the tablet layout. And yes, you could do that. But that would take too long to build. So I just wanted to sort of keep this simple. So I've copied all that XAML. And here's the phone. And I'm just going to paste it in there. I'm going to need to make a few little adjustments because it's a phone. 80 and 20, so let's put that over, make that a bit different. What else do I need to change on this? Left margin of that, make that 20 instead, and then let's just tweak our grid view. That's all right. Let's just change this a little bit, so actually make this a bit bigger, so it pretty much fills the screen, and 300 for that. That's all right. And then, what about the logic behind? So, I could get rid of that, and I could simply insert the same exact same snippet, and it would all just work. But actually, then I'd have the same code in two places, and I really don't like to do that. So, actually, what I'm going to do is go back to my, here's my logic. I'm going to copy all of that. I'm going to go down to my shared thing. I'm going to create a, add a new class, new item, which is going to be called, it's just going to be a class, and I'm going to call it mainpage.saml.cs. And I'm going to control all, paste all of that in there. It's a partial class, so I don't need to do that. It's a partial part of main page. I'm not sure if this is necessary, but it's complaining because there's two references to this. So I'm just going to leave the constructor, and then I can go back to my other pages, this one up here, and basically then get rid of all of this, because now it's a partial class, so it gets included into both. So if you're not used to this feature, it allows you to split the code for a class over a number of different files. So that's my Windows main page logic, and this is my phone main page logic. I'll leave that in, but I won't talk about that for now. And actually, that might be enough to make it work on here as well. Now, I said there's all sorts of, while that is running up, there we go. So there we are. Exactly the same logic, and it's all working. Okay, there's some. You could change the formatting a bit, but I should have put a little margin on it. But there, same logic, and it's all working. Beautiful, eh? Now, just to add a little bit more interest onto this as well, flick it. I just forgot. I should have thought. Let's just uninstall that a minute. And then we're going to put it back on again. And let's go off to the app manifest. I'm just going to enable it for toasts because there's some code in here as well that actually pings up a toast for the first one, just purely because we can. And same for the Windows one. And so we can run it on the phone, and it will go off and fetch some pictures. And there's the first one. And in a second or two, we should get a toast. And while it's thinking about that, go on. Oh, there it was. There we are. It just uses the title of the thing. And of course, that works on the same, just to show that all the toast is logic is all the same as well. I can set that as my startup logic, startup project, and run it on there. And of course, it will say, and actually, this sample also extends to updating the tile as well, but I won't bother pinning that. You can get this code and play with it yourself. So in a minute, we should have a toast coming up with this WhatsApp plus 62 window furniture. There you go. Yeah, so all that code, same notifications, same template, same everything. All right. So that was a quick introduction to the universal thing. I just want to now run through, looking wider than just the universal projects, what are the things that stand out to me as being really exciting? I mean, number one, of course, is that converged XAML-based apps. We can now, long last, really... I mean, you could do this kind of with a lot of nimble footwork in Windows Phone 8, but you couldn't really share very much, and it was you had to get your architecture just right, and it was kind of too hard. It's now... I mean, you still need to be well organized, but it's now much easier. And it's really easy to share your code, share XAML, we've got templates that kind of help you get started with that. There's quite a lot of, there's a few presentations at this conference about this that are kind of digging into a bit deeper than the thing I've just shown you there. But it's really exciting. We've also, like I mentioned before, we've got this ability, if HTML and JavaScript is your preferred tools, you can build native apps with that as well. We've got this new... screen canvas. Now, I'll be talking a bit more about this tomorrow morning. I'm going to dig deeper into the building Windows WinRT XAML apps for Windows Phone 8.1 and dig into some of these, the kind of nuts and bolts of what it means to build for a phone platform. Well, one of the interesting things is we've got this kind of idea that the display area you're designing for, it's not fixed anymore. On Windows Phone 8, we had this convenient little trick, if you like, that actually all our screens were 480 wide and 800 or 856 high. And we just worked to that logical size, and all of them were the same, which was nice from a designer's point of view, but actually meant that when you get onto these super phones, these 6-inch phones, things would start looking a little bit comically large often because they've been designed with a 4.5-inch screen in mind. So now you actually get your screen, the screen size does actually increase. We're still working in logical pixels, and I'll talk a bit more about this tomorrow, but it actually does increase as the device gets bigger. So it's more based on the physical size. So it allows designers to really do interesting things around designing layouts that work well on a regular phone or a super phone or a tablet. And it's the same system that we're using right the way through Windows, right from phones right up to 64-inch pixel perceptive pixel wall displays and this kind of thing. So, and we've got a whole bunch of, obviously, the XAML controls that you're going to be building with. We've got this converged control set. What does that really mean? We've divided it up into three kind of broad categories, not for any real reason that they're particularly, you know, different in programming, but we start with the common lot where you've got a butto. The common butto, which looks exactly the same on the phone as it does on a tablet. I don't know what happened to the end of that. Some of these other controls, which, you know, you program the same, they look the same. They're just basic controls. And then we've got optimized controls, where you program them in exactly the same way. You use the same XAML, the same APIs, that sort of thing. But actually, they have built into them the ability to render in a kind of platform appropriate way. So the classic example of that is the date picker, which on the phone is the normal touch full screen selectors. And on a tablet, the date picker actually shows us drop-down boxes. It's the same control, but it renders differently. And the command bar does that sort of thing, and there's a few others as well that kind of do this trick of having appropriate platform-appropriate rendering into them. And then we have this category called signature, which has been a bit problematic when people have asked, well, what do you mean by that? And actually, all this really means is there are a bunch of controls that have that you would use to build out the signature experiences. So they have built into them all the right kind of touch response to users, the right kind of animations. They help you to build nice layouts that, you know, are typical of our devices. So things like the hub control and the pivot on the phone, their layout, the kind of page layout controls, and then the lists as well. You know, they have all the these smart stuff built into them to give you a, give your users a really good Windows-esque, you know, modern app experience. So that's why they're kind of called out. Like the hub, for example. I mean, this one is one control, but typically you'd have a different layout on the phone as you might do on the tablet, but it allows the designer to do that. It's you're still working in the hub control, but then you'd have different templates to do the layout. You might, in a travel app, have the hero image, as we call it, visible on the phone, and yet on the tablet it extends much further and you give a bit more information. This one is for Windows Phone 8 developers out there. Animations was actually kind of a bit too hard to do with Windows Phone 8 apps. Easy peasy with Windows and WinRT XAML. It's all built in, really easy, beautiful, all works lovely, and you get all that for nothing. It's programmable still. I mean, you can adjust it, and but that all comes for free, and you don't have to install toolkits and add in extra stuff and change the frame and all the kind of wacky stuff you used to have to do with Windows Phone 8 Silverlight apps. Loads of new ways to run code in the background. This is, again, very exciting, much more expanded. You can do things like send a push notification, a raw push notification from the cloud, and it, you can use that to trigger a background task that will run on the device. So lots of new ways of running stuff in the background, and on the network state change, maintenance triggers, location, that's geofencing. So when your user moves it to near to a particular area that you've configured as a geofence, you can run some code. There's a whole bunch of other stuff as well, not shown on there, around Bluetooth LE devices. So when you get a connection to a smart tag on something, it can run some code in the background. So hugely expanded possibilities for that. We already kind of, in that demo, should have looked a little bit at the shared tiles and notification service. It's all now built on WNS, Windows Notification Services, which is a better system than MPNS, which was the old Windows Phone one. It's more reliable and it's faster, and we've got commonality across the two. The templates are the same. They'll be, again, rendered in a platform-appropriate way, so not all the fields necessarily will show on the phone, for example. Action Center, this is actually not only an end user feature, but is programmable as well. So if your app does something that it can enumerate the toasts that are in the Action Center that are relevant to it. It can actually create ones on there. So if it does something that it thinks the user ought to be informed about, you can pop up a silent toast. So they'll see the little icon on the top, and then if they swipe up, you can see some record. The Store app does this now when it's updated, an app silently. It puts a notification in there to say, oh, you know, five apps have been updated. So your app could do stuff like that. So that's really nice. Great stuff with data. So I kind of mentioned this before. First of all, the local file, or the local folder, the local storage folder, can be backed up to the user's OneDrive. And also with roaming settings. So settings roam across different devices. And this works across Windows and Windows Phone. You can use this in the roaming folder. And they will be automatically stored in the cloud and then will be migrated to roamed to all the user's other devices. So they can change it on one device. And the change will automatically be applied when they pick up a different device. And there's a gratuitous animation. I don't know what that says. Share contract. So on Windows Phone 8, you could share, obviously, text, and you could share with Twitter and Facebook and that sort of thing. It wasn't very flexible. So you know how things are in app world. You know, one minute everybody's using Facebook, and then you suddenly read, oh, Facebook's nobody using that anymore. You know, what you really need to be using is XYZ social network, and the latest and greatest new one comes up. So we've now got the share contract. What is good about that is it kind of abstracts the sharer from the share consumer, the share target. So you as an app, we think actually most apps have got something to share. So they will be a share provider, and they'll give an option. You put a button on your app bar to share something, and you share pictures and text or files. And then it throws it out there, and then the user will see this second screen, which is a list of apps that have registered with the system to say that they can accept one of the corresponding kinds of content that the share source has said it wants to share. So it may just be text, which will be loads of apps, but maybe files or particular custom files. So the user then chooses where it gets shared to. And incidentally, this is one way of doing email with attachments, because if you share a file and then you choose the email as the share target, it will end up as a new email message with a file attachment, which we couldn't do attachments before. So it's a very, very rich new system for your apps. Geofencing, mentioned this. You can set up to 1,000 geofences, circular geofences around a particular lat long. And when the user goes through a geofence, you can fire some. Either if you've got a foreground app, it will get an event, or if you get them in the background, you get to run some background code. Very, very rich. We've got video editing available on the phone, not on Windows. And we've got this screen recorder. So this is quite nice, particularly for games. Can you imagine the scenario where somebody's playing a game and they're getting close to breaking through a level? And at this point, the code, the developer might choose to turn on recording, and presumably you have to put out some UI initially to make sure the user is okay with this. And it will record the live action. And then when the user actually beats the level, gets through it, you could then pop up a message saying, oh, well done, you know, do you want to share this? And of course the user says, oh, yeah, absolutely. And then what it will do is it will automatically transcode the video to VGA and upload it to a social network. So that's available, again, on Windows Phone only, not available on big Windows. There's whole new stuff about the wallet. So you can now create new ways of creating wallet cards if you want to do a campaign using the wallet. Bluetooth LE and Bluetooth RFCOM, great stuff for connecting to heartbeat monitors and Fitbits and all this kind of stuff, and smart luggage tags. Great APIs for that, and there's all sorts of background tasks and triggers associated with that as well. For the enterprise particularly happy. We've got loads of ways. So, you know, enterprise has always been something that Microsoft's always been good at, but we did get a bit of disappointment from people with Windows Phone 8. It had some device management, but not enough for a lot of people. We've now fixed that. There's very extensive mobile device management policies in place. So if you've got managed devices, you can do all the things you couldn't do before, like turn off the camera and disable this, that, and the other. There's an apps whitelist as well. So you, for fully managed devices in kind of embedded scenarios, you can control what apps are running on the device. We've got client certificates, so you've got full two-way authentication now in SSL. So not only server certificates, but you can actually install client certificates and have a mutual authentication going on. We've got great support for the Windows, all the cryptography APIs that were missing in Windows Phone 8, secure Wi-Fi, enterprise Wi-Fi, and we've got app-triggered VPN. So we've got VPN. So when an app needs a VPN connection, it will just be set up for it. You configure it obviously up front, and then it will set up that VPN connection when the app is running. SMIME is secure email, encrypted email, and there's a load of new stuff about application management, managing the apps that are on a fully managed enterprise scenario on the devices. So loads of stuff there to make enterprises very, very happy indeed. Sort of allied with that is this whole thing of identity authentication, single sign-on. So we've got the web authentication broker. So this is a component or a subsystem, if you like, that allows you to easily build into your apps the ability to authenticate against social networks. And it does all the OAuth2 things and all this stuff that you might have had to do in the past if you tried to implement this yourself, like having an embedded web browser control. Don't need any of that, because there's a simple API for calling the web authentication broker. Last session tomorrow afternoon, I'm doing loads of stuff on networking. And if I manage to write the demo between now and then, I'll show you it. But this jumpstart is going to kill me, I'll tell you. It's like I've got so much to do. So anyway, the next time, I'm hoping to show you a demo for that tomorrow afternoon. And this credential locker. So if you need to capture credentials from a user and store them, this API credential locker stores them securely on the device. And there's a very simple API for storing them in there and getting them out of there. So this is the way to do that. Both credential locker and web authentication broker do this nice roaming trick as well. So anything that's stored in it will roam across other devices. So if your user runs your app on a different device, they don't have to enter their creds again. It will already be there. We've got Internet Explorer 11 on the device. So that's got great new features, including big asks like WebGL support, the industry-leading HTML5 support, so that's all in there. So if you're building both mobile websites or you're using the hybrid web template, so you've got a thin native shell and your actual UI is in HTML and JavaScript, then you'll be very happy with what we've got with Internet Explorer 11. We've got loads of great new tools as well. The emulator has got loads of great new stuff in it. Good stuff, new stuff for doing loads of more, much better location testing. I found out the other day that the actual network simulation actually works now. I never could get it to work. I don't know if anybody did. It had this feature on Windows Phone 8. You're meant to be able to simulate a slow 2G network, and I don't know, I ran it. Everything seemed to come through fast all the time. Anyway, it does work now for me. And also in the tool, you can simulate push notifications, so you can actually cut and paste in some XML and just send it from the emulator rather than actually have to write a back end and do it properly. So, you can save snapshots now and reload it. So, if you've got an emulator, that annoying thing where you've set it up and you've installed loads of data and then you forget and you accidentally close it and it's all gone? Well, that still happens. But if you remember to save state before you close it, you can then reload it later on and just pick up where you were. So take snapshots in the emulators. So loads of great new stuff there. And loads and loads and loads and loads of other great new tools for monitoring your memory usage, your CPU usage, and low-level stuff like event tracing for Windows tracing. More tools than your wildest dreams. And actually, there's loads and loads of other stuff. And hopefully your favorite is somewhere in there. So loads and loads of new APIs. It really is a very rich release with loads and loads of good stuff for developers. Right. So how do you get started? Actually, I haven't looked. Has anybody looked the last couple of days? So, dev.windows.com. I think they're converging it all. And we've already got converged developer accounts, but I think they're converging the kind of, you know, the landing page. So dev.windows.com and dev.windowsphone.com, I'm expecting to end up as being the same thing. But it's a rapidly moving target, this, so I'm kind of trying to keep up with everything that they're doing. So yesterday, the store, Windows Phone store, opened for Windows Phone 8.1 submissions. And for the first time, you can now reserve app names, so you can actually register your app in from Visual Studio with the store, which is one of the necessary steps you'll need to do as part of the new submission process. So that was all switched on yesterday. And like I said, I think they're going to be switching a bit more convergence in the where you end up if you go to the web. But anyway, if you want the tools, you can go to dev.windows.com or dev.windowsphone.com and get the tools now. It is... free download, Visual Studio Express 2013 for Windows. It gives you a converged tool set, so you can build for big Windows and Windows Phone, all those universal app templates that I showed you, and the target-specific ones. If you've already got a paid edition, a non-Express edition of Visual Studio, then the phone tools are going to come. The SDK is in update 2, and what you can download at the moment is the release candidate for that. So not quite the final version. The final version will be along at some point in the relatively near future. What? What? I don't know. I kind of have an idea. But anyway, we're not saying. Yeah, so we're fixing a few things. What do you need to dev? Actually, here's an interesting thing. So for building for Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1, we now support x86 hardware. So Windows Phone 8.0, it had to be 64-bit Windows. You can now use x86 or 64-bit. There's a kind of a catch with that. If you want to use the emulators, they are Hyper-V emulators, and a couple of the emulators, the high-end ones, are 2 gig devices, right? So you try running 2 emulators side by side on an x86 machine with its maximum of 3.7 gigs or whatever, it ain't going to work. So realistically, if you want to use the emulators, you still need a 64-bit because you need 8 gigs of RAM to make it really fly. But if you look, talking about the minimums, this is what they say. You need 1.5 gigs of RAM. Yeah, right. A bit more than that, really, to make life better. 4 gigs of free disk space. Yeah, if you want to use the emulator, same old story as it ever was. These are Hyper-V machines, and to use Hyper-V, you've got to have Windows 8.1 Professional or higher, because the Hyper-V support isn't in the basic version of Windows 8.1. So it's complicated. So if you want to do the bare bones minimum spec, if you like, is an x86 Windows 8.1 machine, and then you're effectively going to be forced to test. You might just about run the 512 megabyte emulator up, but realistic, you're talking about testing with a real phone connected with a USB cable, which is a good experience. Yeah.
Have you ever tried to convert it to a Vienna image?
So this stuff on the Nokia developer website, on their wiki, which explains how to do that with VMware. So yes, you can run the dev tools in VMware. So yeah, have a look at the Nokia dev wiki. They explain how to do it. Dev accounts, yeah, in order to get started, you don't need a dev account, but as soon as you want to start doing something like publish an app, or even if you want to test real push notifications, then you're going to need a dev account, because by this point, you have to, in order to do that, you have to associate your app with the store, and that kind of marks it with various kind of magic numbers and things that allows push notifications to work. In order to get a developer account, the price is still, for end users, is still individual users, is still $19 for a year. And unless you have an MSDN subscription, in which case it's included, or if you're a student and have a DreamSpark subscription, it's included in that. So it's not a big charge. For a company account, and the only reason you would want a company account is if you're going to do enterprise privately publishing your own apps, through the enterprise, you need a company account for that, is $99 for that. Right. So finally, I just want to talk a little bit about the developer choices. We saw this slide before. These are the different options. And of course, in XAML land, we've got a couple of choices there. And it's basically, and this is the one I want to talk about, is for XAML developers, we've got a couple of choices. And we've come from, this is where we came from. We had Windows Phone 7.0 Silverlight. And of course, this is the app development technology, nothing to do with the browser plugin. And then we had Windows Phone 7.5 Silverlight. And then we got to Windows Phone 8 Silverlight. And that's been the story for XAML-based app development up till now. And they keep adding stuff. And like I said, there is, in Windows Phone 8 Silverlight, there was some convergence, some sensors, in-app purchase, some storage APIs were the same as with big Windows. But now with this release, yeah, you can actually upgrade a Windows Phone 8.0 Silverlight app to 8.1. and get access to all that long list of new APIs and all the geofencing and the new background tasks and all that great stuff. You can use all of that from a Silverlight app running 8.1. Or you could build yourself a WinRT XAML app, which is the converged one. And we're talking about one little bit of it, really. We're talking about the XAML, the views, the actual interaction with the user. So all your business logic, if you've done it, those of you who've used MVVM, you've got nice... differentiation between your a thin view layer, which is just doing the user interaction, and all your logic underneath that does all the interesting stuff. The logic underneath is actually pretty much the same between the two. Same Windows runtime, it's just the same. We're talking about the XAML layer. So you've actually got three approaches. You could just keep using Silverlight, the old Silverlight, and if you don't want to use any of these new features, and the good news with that is your app will run on all Windows Phone 8 devices, and of course we expect a good number of those to be in the market for quite a long time, even though the upgrade potentially is available to all those devices. People don't upgrade, or it won't be offered by the operator, so there will be a lot of 8.0 devices around. And your app will run on all the new devices, because everything, we've got full backwards compatibility, so in terms of maximum reach, that's probably what you want to do. However, of course, probably if you're an existing Silverlight developer, the easiest way to do an 8.1 app is to stay with Silverlight. It's the we're talking about the XAML, but also things like tombstoning, the kind of app lifecycle. That's a bit different between the two frameworks. So if you want to stay in the land you know and understand, you can. You can stay with Windows Phone 8.1 Silverlight, and those apps will only run on Windows Phone 8.1 devices. So they won't run on Windows Phone 8 devices. The store will allow you to have two different variants of your app in the store. So you could have an 8.0 version of your app and then a 8.1 with added extra features, both in the store, and end users who purchase your app will get the appropriate version. But you can stay with Silverlight, or you can move to the Windows XAML platform, which... And this is the one that you're going to want to go for if you want to build a universal app and you really want to move fully into to the converged world, and that you're using the app lifecycle. The whole way the app works is exactly the same on big Windows as on the phone if you choose that option. And it is a bit different, so much so in the jumpstart I'm going to be doing, we're going to do an introduction, which is basically this, and then I'm going to do 7 sessions, which are basically about building Windows XAML apps. So an introduction, a bit about page layout, data binding, page navigation's a bit different, the app lifecycle's a bit different, and then this whole thing about the variable canvas, the way that the screen size has changed, So there's a few extra things to think about with this. So it's not, it's not trivial. So it is an investment that you'd have to make. But those are your choices. There are a few features, not too many, a few features that are not available on the new stack. So you have to use Silverlight if you want to do any of these. The camera capture task is just a little, it's basically a one-liner code that throws up the camera. We haven't actually got, what's it called, camera capture async or something, on which is on big Windows, and they weren't able to get it into the release. There is kind of a workaround if you're building a WinRT XAML app. There's the WinRT API, which is the file open picker. And if you open the file open picker and you direct it at the pictures library, it will open up a pick a picture, and at the bottom there's a take a new picture button. So it's kind of, it's not great. It's not. It could be better. But anyway, that's what we got. Lenses, which is this thing you can have an app that takes over the real-time video channel and does all sort of effects. And there's a great one. Has anybody used the new Office lens? It's just come out. Yeah, it's really cool. It's basically it's a scanner on your phone, and you can kind of scan documents, and it will nicely capture it figures out where the outlines are and does a nice capture like that. So camera lenses, they're Silverlight only. If you want to put a background image on the lock screen, a few apps do that. That's Silverlight only. Runs under lock is Silverlight only. Alarms, reminders, weirdly. Background audio agent, so something continuous in the background. We haven't got that in. So there's a few bits and pieces. Continuous background location tracking. That's where, obviously you can do continuous location tracking with WinRT XAML as long as the app's in the foreground. But as soon as it's suspended, we're back in Windows Phone 7.5 land. It stops tracking. Whereas with Silverlight 8, you can actually keep that location tracking going even when when the app isn't actually visible, isn't active. So we've only got that in Silverlight. And actually, even worse news, it's only in Silverlight 8.0. So, and the last one is the one that's giving people a lot of grief, is WCF. We haven't got that in WinRT XAML apps, which is kind of weird because we have got it in big Windows, but they couldn't do it for the phone. It's basically the things, we have to ship a product and there's a cutoff line and some things don't make it. So we're going to be working on fixing these problems and in a future update, a good number of them will end up in the new stack. But there's a few things there that might make you choose to build a Silverlight app rather than a WinRT XAML app. You can very easily upgrade 8.0 apps to Silverlight 8.1, and it gives you access to all of these beautiful new features. Oh, SD card read-write access, geofencing, Bluetooth, all this stuff, email attachments, all the new background tasks. So loads of great, great new features if you do that. Just to show you how easy, and just to kind of give you a flavor of that. So here's, I'm going to create myself a new app. And it's just a Windows Phone app. I'm going to back down to our old friends. Let's create a data-bound app. It's a Silverlight data-bound app. And I'm not actually going to do anything particularly interesting. But here you go. This is where you choose which platform to target. I'm going to choose Windows Phone 8.0. So this is a Windows Phone 8.0 app for now. And I'm sure you're familiar with this template. And actually, I just want to show you in the object browser, just to give you an idea. If you go down to the bottom, system dot, all this, these are all the .NET APIs. This is the old school stuff. Down here, Windows, this is the WinRT APIs. And if we expand that, well, there's still quite a lot of stuff in there. App model. This is just to support sensors, voice over IP, okay, speech. In-app purchase, some of the features, and then a bit of Windows.storage. So that's what we had in Windows Phone 8. If we now upgrade this to retarget to Windows Phone 8.1, usual things about making sure you've got a backup. And then what it does is it's now upgraded to Silverlight 8.1. We've got a whole new bunch of artwork you have to do. We've actually got an app manifest. So it's kind of moved in part over to the new modern apps kind of model. But all your existing code will just run because it's still Silverlight. But if we go over to Object Browser now and expand the WinRT, well, all of that stuff's in there. All of the stuff that... and so you've got full access to... The only things that you haven't got is Windows XAML. There would be no point, would there? So, but everything else, pretty much, you've got. Of course, the devil's in the detail. It's not right-click, oh, you've done it. There's a lot more to it than that, because you're actually shifting the whole way it runs from the Silverlight stack over to... actually, it runs now in the modern apps stack. So under the covers, there's a few things that might trip you up, but that's a topic for another time. But it is very easy to move on and start using all of these new APIs. So, in summary, with Windows Phone 8.1, first thing to say, of course, is that all your existing Windows Phone 8 apps, the back compat is critical, so everything will still run. Everything you've built up to now will still run on Phone 8.1 devices. The new Windows Runtime XAML platform actually is faster and uses less memory than the old Silverlight one, and it is something that we would expect you to move to in time. Unless you've got real reasons to stay with Silverlight, it's a good choice for future. It's probably where we're going to invest first in the future. And it obviously gives you this universal app. You can easily build apps that can be built once for Windows and Windows Phone. You can share elements of UI, but we think you're probably going to want to spend time tailoring that UI to make sure it works really well on both. And this convergence is right the way across the stack, the tooling and the store and everything. But we still love our Silverlight app developers, and they have access to all of these new API features as well. So it really is now, this really is a great time to be building for apps for Windows and Windows Phone. So I'm done. Please give me give us some feedback. We've got a few minutes left, so if anybody's got any questions, I'd be very happy to answer them. We're not announcing any roadmap, other than we are aware of all the... We are going to be doing GDR updates, so... Yeah, I couldn't say when, but we're certainly looking to do that, yeah. Sure, okay. So yeah, the question is, if you want to use one of the new features like the Action Center Ghost Notifications, and you've got a Windows Phone 8.0 app, but you want to, on 8.1 devices, you want to light up. The old trick, we used to be able to do sort of this light up thing, so you could use reflection to get at some of these hidden APIs. But the thing is, when you move from Windows Phone 8.0 to Windows Phone 8.1 Silverlight, it does actually move the whole app. It's actually executing in a different kind of context. So I don't think that will work. I'm not sure about that. So you're really looking at, when you want to submit to the store, you can submit to the store an 8.0 version of your app and an 8.1 thing. So if you want to maintain two side-by-side versions of your app, it's all the old tricks we used to use before. So you take a copy of your 8.0 app, you would upgrade that to 8.1, you'd probably then put both into the same solution, so you've got a solution with an 8.0 and 8.1, and then you have to do a bit of work where you move all the common files, which will be most of it, into a single folder, and then add as link to share those files between the two. So it's the same techniques we might have used between 7.5, maintaining a 7.5 and an 8.0 version of the app. And then obviously in the 8.1, you can introduce additional features, which would be things like you described there. So that would work. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of papers walking through that process. I'd do it myself, I just haven't had time yet. But anyone else? Great. Oh, we've got one there. Yes.
The new is reserving the name in the Windows Phone Store.
Yeah.
Is the name shared with Windows?
Right. So, yes. So the question is, when you reserve a name in the store, is that name shared with the Windows Store? So, yes, there is a way of linking the Windows Phone and the Windows app to get the same identity. There is a little bit more about reserving names. So when you reserve a name for a new app, it will check and make that be a unique name. So if somebody else has got in, you can reserve a name for a year. Unfortunately, they're going to have it. But actually, for existing apps that are already in the store, then they're allowed to carry on using that name, even if it duplicates one that somebody else has reserved. So we don't force you to sort of have to fix it retrospectively. So. That's basically how it works, yeah.
And about Cortana, it's not available here in Europe, but it's a very famous feature of Android. And it's accessible by applications. How can we make applications for it?
Yeah. So the question is, how can we make apps that integrate with Cortana when it comes available, yeah? Well, yes. So actually, did you ever look at voice commands in Windows Phone 8? That's the Cortana integration. So it's basically the voice commands are now, it was one of those things that everybody used to implement because it was easy, but actually end users never used to use. So now through Cortana, I suspect that the idea of launching an app through voice might become something that people, end users, are more comfortable with. As they get more comfortable with the idea of speaking to their phone anyway and getting it to do stuff, the idea of saying, okay, you know, launch, the one they used at Build was Hulu or something, show this show, that's just done through voice commands. And so the voice commands are the way to get an app through voice to launch and do something. So essentially, that's the main programming point. And we've still got speech synthesis and speech recognition APIs, which were in Windows Phone 8, and those are still in 8.1. So you can build a good speech experience into your app. As far as Cortana is concerned, how would you want to integrate it other than launching, getting an app to do something? It's yeah. So the speech commands you can have in a regular 8.1 app, but exactly the same that Cortana would use to launch into your app. It's the same. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. One more. On the apps list,
yeah,
no, that's right. I haven't seen that either. So I guess the most used apps in the apps list is not. It does turn up in things like sharing, for example, the share contract, where you've got user supplied UIs, where apps are being presented. It will give you the most used, most referenced list first for those kind of bits of UI. So, but not in the general apps list. But you will see it coming through in certain bits of system UI. Yeah. Yes, is there ways to integrate with the People Hub and Calendar? So there's a great new APIs, the same as we've got on big Windows for contacts and calendars. Yes, it's a very rich API set. There's also actually in Silverlight, not Windows XAML, WinRT XAML, there's something called SocialRT, which is another ways of integrating into social feeds and that sort of thing. So. I haven't got a lot of details on that at the moment. But there's some interesting features there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're done. Thanks very much for your attention, and enjoy the rest of Tech Days. Thanks.